Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 82, recorded December 12, 2012. Guy Kawasaki. Triangulation is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Triangulation. And by Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker looking for video, photos, illustrations, music, sound effects, After Effects templates, or 3D models, check out Pond5. And for an exclusive 50 free stock media files, go to pond5.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get to interview the most interesting, the smartest, the most thought-provoking. It's our little TED talk here on Triangulation.
Did a guest cancel today or something?
No! You are my favorite guest. It's Guy Kawasaki.
I thought Mike Arrington was your favorite guest.
Oh, yeah. You know all about that. You quoted that. You outed me in your last book, I think.
Did Samsung give you that phone?
Stop it! Stop it! So the last time we talked, Enchantment had just come out, which was a wonderful book about the art of changing hearts, minds, and actions. And now you have a new one.
Yes.
Which is?
Ape. Author, publisher, entrepreneur. It explains how to successfully self-publish a book.
Is that what you do? Is this self-published?
Yes. What happened was somebody wanted to buy 500 copies of Enchantment as an ebook and send it to 500 different people.
Exactly.
And my publisher could not handle it.
No.
Then I wrote a book called What the Plus about Google Plus, and I self-published that for that previous reason. And then writing What the Plus and self-publishing it, I learned how difficult self-publishing was. So then I decided I would write a book about self-publishing, and that became Ape.
I love it. And you call it artisanal publishing.
Yes, artisanal publishing, because I think self-publishing and vanity publishing has a negative connotation.
Right. Like you couldn't get it published, so you had to pay somebody to make some copies.
Right.
So you could bore your friends with it. But this is not that at all. This is taking control.
It's like saying to someone who's brewing their own beer or, you know, making their own wine or their own bread that the reason why you are an artisanal baker is because, Twinkies wouldn't acquire your product.
It's a good thing, actually, as it turns out. You know, it's funny that you use that term because I use that term about what we do. I call this artisanal media.
Yeah.
Or handmade media. Because instead of mass producing television shows for the broadest possible audience, we're handcrafting shows for a discerning, discriminating audience.
You're making me cry, Leo.
Now, the only thing I got to tell you, author, publisher, entrepreneur, the acronym for that is APE.
Yeah, you figured that right out.
You don't mind, huh?
No, it's on purpose. I mean, in the alphabet, it lends itself to becoming a verb. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong?
So it's interesting. The Google Plus book, by the way, Guy is one of the prime users of Google Plus. You early on kind of grokked it and said, this is great, and you used it very effectively. Are you still as bullish on Google Plus?
Absolutely, I am. And communities only makes it even more interesting. I use communities much more than I use Hangouts on air. There is a power tip about communities, though. I mean, everybody should set up a community as private. I made a big mistake. I set mine up as public. And so what this means is if I post to the community, it also goes to my public profile timeline. So everybody sees everything I post, even though I thought I was posting only to the community.
Right.
So actually, I deleted that community and made a second one, a private one.
Should you? Okay, so I'm going to do this right now. Let's just walk people through it here. Instead of choosing public, which I've chosen for every community I've created so far, so I blew it.
I should choose private. And then should I let people search for my community?
Yeah, I mean, the only part of private that you want is that your posts don't become your timeline.
Right.
So I want it completely open, and Google doesn't let you toggle between public and private. And I think it's a flaw in the design that a public community means that your posts go to everybody who circled you.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. And I do think communities have changed things on Google+. I really like I think it's such a good feature. I agree with you. It, as important as Hangouts was, it's even, to me, more significant. I mean, it really changes my usage.
Yep.
All right. Now, but
if they would just create APIs so we could have our of Google+, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So this is something I was talking about this the other day with Lisa. This is something that Google has resisted doing, which is there's an API for reading, but there's no way to write to Google Plus except from using Google Plus tools, either on your smartphone or on the web. And what you would like is a third-party tool to be able to write and read Google Plus. Is that what you're saying?
Now, there is a slight exception. I mean, there's things like Hootsuite, where if you're a enterprise Hootsuite user, you can use their tool for a Google page. I mean, this is the, you know, the brand page, not the personal profiles that you and I. So we want that feature, but only for personal profiles.
Right, right. I think Google's fear is that the same thing will happen to Google Plus that happened to Buzz, which is that people won't live on Google Plus. They'll tweet and then have everything automatically ported over to Google Plus.
We're going to abuse it with spam and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But my solution is let only verified people do it.
Ah. Like you and me.
Exactly right.
We just want an API for us.
What a coincidence.
All right. Well, let me talk about self-publishing because I think that's great. And we're talking to Guy Kawasaki. He was the original Apple evangelist. Really, the word evangelist, which now is in common use for tech companies all over, was created for this guy. I mean, he wonderful, inspiring guy. The Art of the Start is a book that was my Bible when I started my own company. I read it and read it again. He's written so many great books. And his newest is all about self-publishing. And, of course, it's self-published. It's called Ape, and you could find it at apethebook.com. We'll have more with Guy in just a minute. I got to tell you a little bit about stamps.com right now. This is the place to go if you don't want to go to the post office, you know, this time of year. Well, really any time. The post office is just, you know, maybe you're looking for an excuse to get out of the office. That's fine. Go have a hot dog. Don't go to the post office when you got stamps.com. Everything you could do at the post office, you could do right at your desk. I'm talking about using your computer and your printer and stamps.com to print legal U.S. postage. You even print the mailing labels. You can print right on the envelopes with the postage, the address, your return address, your company logo, a special marketing message, happy holidays, all of that through stamps.com. It's kind of a no-brainer. It's a pro tip for people who do a lot of mailing. And if you're an Amazon or an eBay, an Etsy, or a PayPal seller, you'll love stamps.com because it takes the address, the information, right from the site for the buyer and prints out the mailing label. You got a great USB scale. So let's say you're selling teddy bears from the 19th century, and you've got a great teddy bear. Somebody just bought it for $1,500, and you want to mail it to them. You take the package. You plop it on the scale. Stamps.com automatically figures out exactly how much postage, prints the postage and the mailing address on the label. You fix it to the box, and do you get up from your desk? Not even then. You put it right there, and the mail carrier comes and takes it. And they even, if you're using certified or priority or mail where, you know, they can track it, Stamps.com has an option to automatically send an email to the guy who bought the teddy bear saying, it's on its way, here's the tracking number. This is pro mailing. I want you to try Stamps.com. Here's the deal. Go to Stamps.com, and you'll see a special offer. Don't do it. Don't do that one. Click the podcast icon up in the upper right-hand corner. And enter our offer code, triangulation. You've done it right if you see an old man on it saying, Leo Laporte listeners, get started. And you'll see this, too. It's now that $80 offer turned into $110 value. $55 in postage, a free digital scale, that beautiful scale. You're going to love it. And by the way, you can cancel it anytime, and that scale is yours to keep. $5 supply kit, a 4-week trial, stamps.com. Click the radio microphone offer code triangulation. You're going to love it. Is it. They said not only is it old, but he's reversed. Am I reversed in that picture? I guess the microphone's coming in from the wrong side. So that's the backwards Leo. I thought it looked weird.
No?
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 It's, no?
Right.
It's right? Okay.
It's the curve of the logo.
Oh, the curve of the logo. Whatever that. You're right. It is right. How'd I get the microphone on that side?
It's on an arm.
Oh, it's on an arm. See, John's a studio manager. He knows how this stuff works. Stamps.com. Don't get distracted by that, by minutia. Our guest is Guy Kawasaki. We're talking with Guy Kawasaki, the evangelist. Do you evangelize for anybody but yourself? You invest in companies, right?
A little bit. Not so much anymore.
It's all about Guy now.
Well, it was always all about Guy.
Oh, the truth comes out. So I agree with you on self-publishing. In fact, I've talked to people like Jerry Pournelle, very prolific, brilliant science fiction author who's made a good living publishing traditional books, but who, it's interesting, whose daughter wrote a book that was based on one of his books and self-published on Amazon and has done very well. And it opened his eyes to it. John C. Dvorak, another kind of famous publisher, has said, I want to do ebooks. I think you're not alone in this. Even established authors are interested in self-publishing.
What you want out of a traditional publisher is physical distribution. You want the copy editing, cover design, you know, editing, all that stuff. And you want the publisher's platform where the publisher can call up the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times and, you know, call up Leo and get you on This Week in Technology. The problem is that now they acted as a gatekeeper, but you can hire your own copy editor, your own cover designer. You can, using social media, build your own platform. So a traditional publisher is less and less important. Also, you know, when it comes right down to it, when you're on Amazon and you're thinking of buying a book, I don't think anybody uses the proxy of who is the publisher anymore. I mean, maybe 20 years ago, Random House published it, must be good, right?
Right.
Today, you look at a book, you say, oh, 4.5 stars, must be good. Let me read the first three reviews, sounds good.
Exactly.
Who cares who the publisher is?
And you don't need a truck anymore to bring it to a bookstore or get shelf space in a bookstore because you've got Amazon, you got the Kindle. You don't even need to print these things. But if you wanted to, there are lots of just-in-time printing services that will even print a book for you at no cost up front. Yes. So really, copy editing. What do you hire a copy editor? How do you handle that?
One of the things you absolutely should pay for. I mean, it'll probably cost you $1,000, but one of the worst ways to try to save money is to not hire a copy editor. That is just plain stupid.
And there are good freelancers out there that you can find that are going to give you as good a job as the Random House would have offered?
The irony is most of the copy editors that a traditional publisher uses is a freelancer. So right. You could same freelancer that you would have gotten anyway.
Isn't that ironic? You have on your website at apethebook.com a royalty calculator that I think for a lot of authors, that's going to be kind of an eye-opener.
Well, the bottom line for like Kindle, most self-published authors are going to pick a $3 price point. And so $3 price point, you will make $2 per copy. I mean, that's huge. Copy on a $3 book?
I've written a few books, traditional books published for Q, which is a Pearson imprint. I even had my own imprint. I had the Leoville Press. And 13 or 14 books. And I think a decent royalty at the time, which I think it was 15%. I think 10 is more typical, but 15%. But it's not 15% of the cover price. It's 50% of what the publisher gets, which is 1/2 the cover price. And then they take off the top all their costs and expenses. So by the time you get down to it, you might make, if you're lucky, $1 a book.
Right.
You're saying, I'm going to make twice that by eliminating the publisher.
Well, not only will you make twice that, from the time that I got my book back from my copy editor until it was for sale was 7 days. Of the 7 days, we were putzing around for 4 days, you know, trying to build up a backlog. We could have shipped it 3 days earlier. So, you know, from copy editor to revenue in 7 days, wow. That's remarkable.
Yeah, typically a real book, we're talking 6 months.
Yeah, you'd be lucky if it's 6 months, yeah.
Which is troubling because in the tech world, 6 months, is everything could change. And it's written, you know, our poor friend Paul Thurrott writes Windows books. The poor guy, he's like, he's holding his breath because he's written the book.
Yep.
And Windows 8 is about to come out, and he's just praying that nothing changes in the months. They've got it down to just a few months now. Because the whole thing could be wrong.
Absolutely.
So for topical books, tech books especially, it makes a lot of sense. So copy editor, we got that solved. Graphics design, the cover of the book, does that even matter anymore?
Oh, it matters tremendously because, you know, when people go to Amazon, they're going to look at your cover next to 10 other covers. All the covers will be a size of a postage stamp. There's a real Zen art cover design now. You could make the case it's more important now because your cover has to convince people to click.
Right.
And before, you know, people could pick up a 6x9, they could turn it over and read the blurbs, they could read the, you know, all that stuff. Now, someone's just seeing your postage stamp size cover and clicking or not.
Wow, that's a good point. We actually feel the same way with podcasts. And you have to look at it as it's going to look on the website or the iTunes or whatever, because it's going to be tiny. I like your cover. It's got a big ape pulling up the Transamerica Pyramid, or is that the Chrysler Building?
That's supposed to symbolize the fact that we're trying to kind of destroy traditional publishing, and traditional publishing is based in New York.
Aha. So it is the Chrysler Building. Yeah, I love it. No, that's a good cover, and it does. It kind of grabs you, and it looks interesting, and it might be about monkeys, so you might look fine. Now, is Amazon all that matters? Do you look at Barnes & Noble? Do you look at other alternative publishing places, or does it just have to work on Amazon?
Absolutely should look. I think the big four are Amazon, in this order, Amazon, Apple, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. But Amazon, honestly, is the lion's share. I mean, if you are successful with Amazon, you'll be successful with everything else. But if you're successful with the other stuff, it's not true you'll be successful with Amazon. I think if I were a novice self-publisher author, and I had to focus, I would focus on Kindle and Amazon first.
I'm surprised that you say iBooks is second. Are you finding that it's very important to the Google Plus book and now this book?
Well, to tell you the truth, there is a reason why Ape is only available on Kindle. We've given 90-day exclusive because it is most of the action.
I see. So Amazon asks for a 90-day exclusive.
I'm sorry?
Does Amazon ask for that?
No, it's called KDP Select. And with KDP Select, what happens is now it's eligible for people to borrow it, and you split a fund. Kindle has created this fund where all the books that are loanable and borrowable split the fund. How many of the books are yours that were borrowed? And you can also have you'll find this funny. If you join this special program, then you are allowed to give your book away for free for 5 days. And that's a huge promotion, actually. So there are some advantages to doing this.
I'm sure you cover all this in Ape, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Because this is now we're getting a little complicated, the different programs and incentive programs and all the different features and stuff. I think that's probably one of the things that scares people off a little bit, is that they have to do more of the work. The publisher, all you have to do is write the book. The publisher does everything else. Now you've got to find all these other pieces and put them together.
You know, that's true to some extent. However, you get paid a lot more. But, you know, the hardest part of being an author is not the writing or the publishing. It's the marketing. And you, as an author, unless you're J.K. Rowling, you just cannot depend on even your traditional publisher to run the marketing for you, because they have an attention span of, you know, 3 to 4 weeks.
I learned that lesson. When my book came out, I said, all right, I'm ready for the author tour. Where am I going? They said, you don't do an author tour. Is your name Danielle Steele? I don't think you're going on an author tour.
It's Leo's show, right? And you sank or swam based on your ability, not your publisher's.
In fact, I think that's why I got the book, is because I had a TV show, and the publisher understood that was a better way to market than anything that they could do. But it's hard to market. That's another hard thing to do. Now, you've got some really good tips on marketing in all of your books. I mean, that's one of the things you're really great at. Give us some advice for authors to marketing themselves. Do people do book tours? Is that even a thing?
Not unless you are Danielle Steele. So here's my most important tip. If people were to go to Amazon and look at Ape right now, they would see about 125 reviews after 48 hours. 110 of them or so are 5-star. Like 4 or 5 or whatever are 4-star. 1's 3-star. So whatever those numbers add up to, it's not 125. That's how many reviews are. So people are like wondering, how the hell can you have so many 5-star reviews after 48 hours? You know, did you pay these people? Is it you and your family all acting as shills? And the answer to that question is, prior to the availability of the book, 60 people volunteered via Google Plus to beta test it. Then I sent it to all the people who had reviewed all my other books before, and I asked them to take a look at it. So 3 hours before Amazon turned it on, I sent an email to these roughly 1,100 people, and I said, you know, the book's going to go live in 3 hours. It would be really helpful if you guys went up there and reviewed it right away. And now, of course, this is all based on the fact that you hope you write a book that they like. You could ask people to go up and review it, and they all give you 1 stars. That might backfire. But there's no magic to that. But in order to do that, you have to get over the paranoia of sending your book to roughly 1,000 people before it's available for sale. Because you could make the case that some portion of those people would have bought it, and you just lost all those sales. I, however, think it's worth the loss to get that kind of 5-star reviews right now.
Your review, I mean, I'm looking at the reviews on this. They really are amazing. You get 5 stars because the vast majority of the 130 reviews are 5 stars. Only, as you said, 1 3-star. That was the lowest that you got, 7 4-stars. But the nice thing is, giving an electronic book away doesn't cost you. It's an opportunity cost. It's a potential lost sale, but it doesn't cost you anything. I want to take a break and come back and ask you if you need to do print at all, if you could just do ebooks entirely. Guy Kawasaki is our guest. His new book, Ape, Author, Publisher, Entrepreneur, is available on Amazon. A Kindle purchase for $9.99, but if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can borrow it for free. I think that's pretty scary, too. Let's ask why he would even want to do that in just a second. We're going to get right back to the interview in a second, but I do want to tell you, and I think Guy would agree that this is a great tool about Pond 5. We're talking about graphics and designing your cover. I can almost guarantee you that Guy didn't go out and take a picture of a giant ape ripping up the Chrysler building. No, he probably used royalty-free stock media from Pond 5. It's all there. There's an ape right on the front. What is that? A mandrel. I love Pond 5. Pond 5 is kind of amazing. It is the best stock media marketplace in the world. If you're a media maker looking for videos, for photos, for illustrations, music, sound effects, After Effects, templates, 3D models, there's another ape. Millions, I mean millions, of all of those things and more. Thousands uploaded every week. It's got sound effects there if you're a podcaster. Very handy. Very, very handy. If you're a media creator and you want to sell your stuff, Pond 5 gives you the best royalty rate in the business, and they let you set the price. So this is kind of like e-publishing for media creators as well. If you're a photographer, a videographer, you make music or sound effects, if you're an After Effects wizard or 3D designer, this is the place for you. Pond5.com. And I got a special deal right now for you. Look at that. 1.3 million video clips, 8.2 million photos, 27,000 new photos this week. They've always got a free clip every week, something you can download for free, but I got a better deal. How about 50 free stock media files right now? Go to pond5.com/triangulation. You know, I'll tell you the whole reason they're doing this. They want you to have an account on Pond5. They want you to see how easy it is to browse, to download, to buy. And that way, when you do need an image, you'll know where to go. That's the whole point. That's why they're giving you free files. 50 free stock media files, pond5.com/triangulation. No cost, no obligation. No salesman will call, but you will be glad to know about pond5.com. You're watching Triangulation, Leo Laporte, with one of my favorite guests of all time, Guy Kawasaki. I just adore Guy. He's so much fun. His enthusiasm that he brings to everything he tackles is absolutely infectious. You're doing well? Everything's going good in your life?
Doing well, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to rush you, though, Leo. I got to take off.
Why not print?
Print or not?
Yeah.
I think for a nonfiction author, the ratio of print to nonprint is still 2-to-1 print to nonprint. You'll sell twice as many printed books as you will nonprinted or electronic books. And that remains true to this day. You know, there's a lot of mythology that ebooks outsell printed books. That's not true. Ebooks are about 10 or 15% of all total books. 85% is still printed. It's just in certain sectors like adult fiction that ebooks are rocking. But in textbooks and in nonfiction books and business books, it's still a printed world. So you should do both. And we will have a printed version of Ape. It's just that the ebook version can come out faster by definition than the printed version, although the printed version using something like CreateSpace or Lightning Source is 7 to 10 days away, you know, print on demand. So basically everything is on demand today.
And it costs you nothing up front, where Vanishing Publishing in the past, you'd have to pay to get those printed even if you hadn't sold them yet. CreateSpace is Amazon's. Is that one you would recommend?
We are looking at CreateSpace and Lightning Source. We're going to pick between one of those two very shortly. But they're both, you know, print on demand. There's certain advantages for each one.
One of the things CreateSpace does is they do get you hooked up with copy editors and graphic designers and things like that.
We're not going to. But, I mean, all that stuff costs extra.
Yeah.
So I would rather pick my own copy editor stuff.
And if you want to know marketing, just follow Guy's career and read all of his other books, because he tells you how to market yourself better than anybody else. He's one of the best. I'm sorry we don't have much time with you, Guy. I thank you for making the time, though. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care, Leo.
Take care. Guy Kawasaki, the book is Ape, author, publisher, entrepreneur. I think it's kind of telling that third one. It is a form of entrepreneurialism, and he is kind of the king of that. You'll find it on Amazon right now for $9.99, and I guess a print version to come. But, you know, he also obviously knew what he was doing when he came up with the name Ape, because if you search on Amazon for Ape, it's the second hit, and that's always a good thing, too. Thank you, Guy Kawasaki. Thank you for joining us. We do Triangulation every Wednesday afternoon right after This Week in Google, about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 2300 UTC if you're outside the boundaries of the United States of America. You can also get on-demand versions of all of our shows. And we have 82 great episodes online at twit.tv/TRI or wherever finer podcasts are made available, iTunes and the like. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Triangulation.